Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Today I want to preach part two to the sermon I preached 2 weeks ago called Suddenly, because the Lord has really been stirring this in my spirit. As I pray for this city, as I pray for this church, as I pray for my family, as I pray for you and your family, God just keeps saying, suddenly, suddenly, suddenly. That word keeps stirring inside of my spirit. I can't get away from it. And I want you to know that we are in a season of suddenly. We're in a season where things are just going to suddenly happen. And I want to declare over your life today that you are about to start seeing suddenlies in your life. You are about to start seeing suddenlies in this church. We're about to start seeing suddenlies in our nation. Just like when we come together on Saturday and we pray, I believe we're going to see a sudden result of that prayer. As you pray, as you seek God, as you continue to love and to give and to serve, I believe you're going to see suddenlies. All of a sudden, that wayward child or grandchild that you've been praying for, you've been hoping for, you've been believing, they're going to come back. God, I call them back into the fold right now. I believe that suddenly, just like, you know, it suddenly, it just happens all of a sudden. It's like that prodigal son that was found in the pigsty. He'd run away from home. He'd squandered his daddy's wealth. He'd done everything wrong. He was down. He was out. And suddenly he came to his senses when he was sitting in that pigsty. And he said, you know what? My dad's servants have it better than this. I am going to go home and I'm going to say sorry for what I did. I'm believing that suddenly moment, like that prodigal son had in that pigsty, your children, your grandchildren, your niece, your nephew, your neighbor's child that you've been agreeing with them and you've been praying for and you've been hoping for, suddenly they're going to come back home. Amen. I believe that suddenly you're going to have a financial breakthrough. Some of you have had a burden over you. Maybe it's a credit card debt that you've racked up. Maybe it's a medical bill. I don't know what it is, but suddenly this week you are going to see God set you free from that burden, that stress, as we did, as Pastor Lauren declared earlier, that we are set free from the stress and the burden of being in debt, as long as we are faithful to steward our finances well, to be obedient, to give, to be generous. I believe that God is going to bring a suddenly in your financial life. You've been praying about it. You've been, God, I don't know how we're going to pay for this. I don't know what we're going to do. How are we ever going to get through? Suddenly, God is going to set that burden free as you are faithful to be obedient to Him. Suddenly, that injury that's been plaguing you for years and years and years and years, maybe it's a knee, maybe it's a back, maybe it's an elbow, suddenly God is going to bring deliverance. He's going to bring healing to it. That addiction that you've been battling with, that maybe your spouse doesn't even know that you have, it's going to be set free this week. It's going to be set free this month. It's going to be set free this year. Why? Because as we surrender ourselves to God, He will release suddenlies to take place in our life. Suddenly, we're going to see tons of people getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost in this church. We're going to see people getting healed, set free, delivered. Their lives are never going to be the same. I'm declaring we are in a season of suddenly. Suddenly, we're going to get a building for this church. Come on, somebody. We've been looking for a year. We've been searching. We've been praying. We've been believing. Even we've been staying in faith, and suddenly a building is going to come, and we're going to be like, I didn't even know. That building was right there the whole time. God knew it was there the whole time, and as we are faithful to do what He has called us to do, He will release it suddenly. Amen? Sometimes you just have to put it in God's hands. You ever had a situation like that before? You've done everything you can do. You've tried. You've prayed. You've been crying about it. You've been stressing about it, and finally you just say, all right, I'll give it to you. Sometimes you just got to put it in God's hands. You know, because the Bible says there's one that plants, there's one that waters, but there is only one, and it is God who gives the increase. He's the one that will bring the suddenly. You might have been planting, you might have been watering, you've been doing everything that you can do, but all of a sudden God's going to bring an increase as you put it in His hands and you say, God, I've been faithful to obey You. I've been loving on You. I've been praying. I've been worshiping. I've been doing everything I can do, but I need to put this in Your hands. He will bring the increase. He will bring the suddenly. But maybe you've been holding on to something that He's been asking you to put in His hands. And we are so bad about that as people. There's stuff that we know it's better in the hands of God, but we would rather hold on to it and do everything that we can to make it happen in our power. There is something that tries to woo us into thinking that we can do it on our own. Now listen, independence from England was a great thing for America, but independence in your life is a bad thing. You need to be dependent on God. You need to realize that we need to trust in Him. We need to believe in Him. We need to hope in Him. We need to put our problems, our situations, whether good or bad, solely in His hands, because only He can bring the suddenly. Only He can bring the increase. And maybe you've been holding on to something that you need to let go of and put in His hands. Think about it with me this way. If your favorite basketball team was in an important playoff game, down 2 points, with time winding away, who do you want to have the ball? Your best three-point shooter, right? You don't want the center to have the ball. If you know anything about basketball, centers are not great three-point shooters usually, okay? You want the ball in the player of the best three-point shooter you have, right? If it was the 90s and it was the Bulls, you would want Michael Jordan to have the basketball. If it was the early to mid-2000s and it was the Lakers, you wanted Kobe to have the basketball, right? Why? Because you knew that those guys were clutch. You knew that they'd practice. You knew that they were proven. And you had hope to believe that they could make the shot. So in our lives, when it comes to a pressure situation, when it comes to a problem, when it comes to a situation, shouldn't we want to put the ball in the hands of God? Instead of trying to make the shot, because you and I are probably going to miss the shot, but God has never missed a shot that He has ever called. He has been perfect. He has batted 1,000. He has never missed a shot. He has never let us down. And it's funny how we keep things in our own hands, even though we have a God that's never made a mistake. He's never dropped the ball. He's never fumbled. He's never missed the shot. He's never messed up in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And the other thing that's so cool about God is He is more than happy to intervene in your situation if you will just give Him what it is that you're struggling with. He will step in. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. But the key is to do what you can do and then leave the rest to Him. Do what you can do and then leave the rest to God. Jesus told His disciples in Matthew chapter 19, He said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Okay, those words in the Greek, impossible, impossible, they teach us so much about what Jesus is saying. Because when He says, with man, this is impossible, He's saying, with man, this is weak, this is unable, and this is powerless. So with man, there is no chance, there's no hope, there's no shot. But with God, all things are possible. That word possible means powerful, strong, and mighty. They're opposites. With you and I trying to do things our own way, we are weak, unable, powerless, impossible. But with God, all things are able, strong, powerful, and possible. And sometimes we just got to say, God, I've done everything I know to do. I'm putting it in Your hands. And really, we should have put it there in His hands to start with. But maybe you've been holding on to something, holding something back. I'm telling you today, just say, God, I put this in Your hands. I was struggling a couple months ago, just to be honest with you, with trusting God with my children. I may have shared this before. With their health, with their well-being. You know, as a parent, you love your child so much, you'd do anything to protect them, wouldn't you? You'd do anything. I'll tell you a funny story really quick about that. I hate birds. Scared to death of them. Just being completely honest with you. I'd rather wrestle a wild boar than mess with a bird. I just hate birds, okay? Well, we were on the golf course one day, and this Canadian goose starts chasing my then 4-year-old Bethel, okay? My fear of birds was gone immediately. I was in dad mode. I'm serious. I had a 4-iron in my hand, and if that goose would have been within reach, he would have gone farther than I hit a golf ball with a 2-iron. I mean, a 4-iron. He was just in danger of losing it. Now, I don't go around picking on birds, but when they pick on my children, they started the fight. Thankfully, as I ran towards the bird, he ran away. Bethel's fine. It's all good. We came away unscathed. The bird is fine for all of you animal lovers out there that are about to call PETA on me. My pastor killed a bird on a golf course 2 years ago. No, I didn't. It's okay. But all of a sudden, that fear was gone, right? And I don't even remember why I told you that story or where I was going with that. So I'm just going to get back to my notes, because that I'm not normally a rabbit chaser. Normally, I stick pretty close to subject, but that one just escaped me there. I have no idea why I told you that. So you keep doing what you can do and trust Him with the rest. Amen? Is there anybody here that's ready for a suddenly in your life? As I describe this, you think about a person, you think about a situation, you think about something that's going on in your life, and you're like, I want a suddenly in this church, in my life, in my body. Amen? Sudden breakthrough, sudden healing, sudden victory, sudden provision, sudden miracles. It's going to happen. Amen? But Here's what you do. Let's go back to a couple weeks ago. The keys to walking in the suddenly, there were three things that I gave you, were number one, live with a yes in your spirit. Whatever God says, I'm going to say yes. Because sometimes if you don't live prepared with a yes, the suddenly will catch you off guard and you'll be mad about the suddenly that he brings. You won't understand it. You won't comprehend it. But if you say, God, no matter what you want, because your ways are higher than my ways, you know better than I know, I'm going to say yes to whatever it is that you have. That is trusting him. That is putting it in his hands. So we live with a yes in our spirit. The second thing is we keep watch. We look for the suddenly. Where is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? We cannot predict the suddenly, but we can anticipate the suddenly. God, I know you're about to do something. I don't want to miss it. I am keeping watch like the five wise virgins and not the five foolish virgins, that I've got oil in my lamp. I'm looking. I'm ready. I'm keeping watch. Whatever it is that you want to do, I'm going to be ready. And then the third thing is while you wait, you pray and you worship. You keep your eyes on him. You glorify him. You magnify him. You plow in prayer. You just go after it. Every single chance that you get, you are just praying. You are worshiping. And just like when Paul and Silas were in that jail at midnight and they were praying and they were worshiping, the Bible says suddenly there was an earthquake and those chains were released. Those doors were open. Amen? So that's what we've got to do. But I want to give you something else that you can do. This is part two, okay? I'm not just going to re-preach what I said 2 weeks ago. We do need to live with the yes in our spirit. We do need to keep watch. We do need to pray and worship while we wait. But I want to give you something else that you can do while you wait for your suddenly to come, because we're going to look to God's word for revelation this morning. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and grab it. I didn't forget. Okay. Grab your Bible and hold it up and say this with me. Say, I am what his word says I am. I can do what his word says I can do. I can be who his word says I can be. So today I'll receive the word of God. I'll be taught the word of God, so that I can obey the word of God, because I love his word. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 3. One of my favorite books in the entire Bible is 2 Kings. Some wild, wild stuff happened in both 1 and 2 Kings. Some amazing stories, but also some sad stories. The way that God's people would continually turn away from him and begin to serve idols and false gods. And they were led astray by evil and wicked kings. And today we're going to look at a king that was in 2 Kings chapter 3. And before we begin reading, they'll have the scripture on the screen. If you don't have your Bible or your device with you today, look it up. But in 2 Kings chapter 3, before we begin reading, allow me to give you just a little bit of context, just a little bit of backstory as to what is happening in this passage of scripture, because the king of Israel's name is Jehoram, okay? Jehoram, and he is the son of Ahab. Maybe you're familiar with Ahab and Jezebel, who so famously, you know, combated Elijah during his time as the prophet of Israel. And Elijah and Ahab were the most wicked tandem to ever rule the people of God. In fact, it says of Ahab that he did more evil than anybody else that was ever before him. So they were just a terrible, terrible example to the people of God, and they ruled over Israel, and they brought in Baal worship and Asherah worship, and they were just all kinds of crazy stuff was going on in Israel. And this is their son, Jehoram, that is now leading Israel. And the king of Moab, another neighboring country, has been paying tribute to Ahab and to Israel. He's been paying 100,000 sheep and the wool of 100,000 rams for years as tribute to Ahab, because Ahab had him under submission through a battle that he had won. And so when Ahab dies and Jehoram becomes king, the king of Moab says to Jehoram, no longer am I going to send you 100,000 sheep and the wool of 100,000 rams. I'm done doing that. I'm not going to pay you tribute anymore. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to refuse you. I'm going to buckle, you know, or buck up against you. I'm not going to give you what it is that you want. Well, the problem is that Jehoram has become very accustomed to leg of lamb and 100% wool underwear. So he's not really excited about the fact that the king of Moab is saying, I'm not going to give you this anymore. So he gets mad. He gets frustrated. And he calls to Jehoshaphat, who is a famous king who ruled in Judah. Now, Jehoshaphat was a righteous king. As much as Jehoram and Ahab were unrighteous, Jehoshaphat was righteous. But he calls to Judah was neighboring tribe. They were all a part originally of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so he calls Jehoshaphat, Jehoram does, and he says, hey, will you go to battle with me? Jehoshaphat agrees, says, my people are as your people and my resources your resources. Let's go and let's attack them. So they go to Moab by way of Edom. And on the way through Edom, they pick up a dignitary that has been appointed probably by the king of Israel. And they're going to wage warfare against Moab. But the problem is that once they arrive in Edom, there's no water, okay? Now, they couldn't just run down to the MAPCO and pick up a bunch of bottled water. If you didn't have water in ancient Israel, you didn't have water. That's just, there was no wells, there were no rivers, there were no springs. They were stuck, okay? And so it seems like everything's lost. Seems like there's no hope. And in fact, Jehoram, the king of Israel, goes so far as to say, alas, God has brought these three kings out into the wilderness to be defeated by Moab. He's giving up. But Jehoshaphat says, whoa, 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 brother. Is there not a prophet that we can get a word from? Is there not somebody that hears from God? Lenny, listen, anytime you come to a situation in your life when you think that all hope is lost, don't give up. Look for a word from God. Because in every situation, in every temptation, He will make a way of escape. But we are too quick to just throw the towel in instead of saying, God, I need a word. We have 66 books of revelation from God. There are men and women of God, pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, apostles that you can call on and say, I need a word from you. And we need to be like Jehoshaphat and not like Jehoram to say, I'm not going to die in this desert. I'm not going to stay here. I need a word from God, because I know that if God brought me here, God will sustain me to get me through this season, through this situation. The end that it seems like to man is not the end to God. So Jehoshaphat says, is there not a prophet that we can inquire of? And listen, this was a common practice of Jehoshaphat, because Jehoshaphat had done the exact same thing with Jehoram's daddy, Ahab, when Ahab was going to go fight someone, and he had all his little people running around acting a fool and prophesying false. And Jehoshaphat said, whoa, Ahab, is there not a prophet of God we can inquire of? They found a man named Micaiah who came and gave a prophecy that actually led to the death of Ahab. Okay, enough Bible history lesson. Let's get back to this. But I want you to notice, I want to point out the stark difference in the response of Jehoram and Jehoshaphat. Okay? I want you to realize this. Jehoram responded to adversity differently than Jehoshaphat did. You know why? Because an unrighteous person is quick to lose hope, quick to accept defeat, quick to give up, quick to throw the towel in. But people that are righteous are not so. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we have this hope as an anchor for our souls. What's an anchor do? An anchor keeps you from drifting away. It keeps you grounded. It keeps you steadfast. It keeps you firm. Righteous people always look to the Lord. Unrighteous people look at the problem. Righteous people look to the problem solver. Unrighteous people look at the situation. Righteous people look at the one that's in control of the situation. Because a righteous person understands that we serve a God that can do what man cannot do. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 19? With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. We serve a God that can make the impossible possible. He can bring a suddenly to pass in your life. So here's what happens. Continue with the story. One of the servants pipes up after Jehoshaphat says, is there not a man of God that we can inquire from? One of the servants say, Elisha is here in this region. And Jehoshaphat said, good, the word of the Lord is with him. Let's go see him. So they go to Elisha and they present themselves to him. And I love this because Elisha and Elijah both kind of had edgy attitudes, okay? And I love this. Like, Elijah made fun of the people of Baal as they were dancing around and their God wasn't answering by fire. And Elisha, Jehoram comes to him and he says, what do I have to do with you? Go to the gods of your mother and your father. Don't come to me looking for a word all of a sudden when you've been serving Baal and you've been sacrificing and you've had idol worship going on. He said, go away. He said, but because of Jehoshaphat, I'll talk to you. I'll listen to you. Okay? So they begin to converse, and the man of God says, bring me a musician. They bring a musician. He begins to play. And the Bible says that as he begins to play, the hand of the Lord comes upon Elisha, and he begins to declare the word of the Lord. That's what we're going to pick up. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Here we go. Big portion of scripture, but we're going to read it and then unpack it a little bit. Verse 16 says, and he said, this is Elisha speaking, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. If you underline in your Bible, I would just encourage you to underline what the word of the Lord right there that he said, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. And also you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city and shall cut down every good tree, stop up every spring of water, and ruin every good piece of land with stones. Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly, somebody say suddenly, water came by way of Edom and the land was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and older were gathered and they stood at the border. Then they rose early in the morning and the sun was shining on the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, "This is blood. The kings have surely struck swords and have killed each other. Now therefore Moab to the spoil." So when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites so that they fled before them and they entered their land, killing the Moabites. Then they destroyed the cities. Each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it. They stopped up all the springs of water. They cut down all the good trees, but they left the stones of Kirhareseth, I'm sorry, that's a hard word, intact. However, the slingers surrounded and attacked it. I have a few things that I want to point out that I want you to see through this scripture. Let me pray, and then we'll get into the word today. Father, I thank you so much for the scripture. I thank you that it is the holy word of God that is infallible, that is perfect, that's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that today it would cut away anything that is useless and it would add to anything that is useful by the Spirit of God. I thank you that the letter may kill, but the Spirit gives life. So I pray for the Spirit of God to flow through me today to speak your word in an authoritative and an anointed manner in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I have a few things that I want to point out from this passage of scripture, from this story. Maybe you've heard this story before. Fascinating story, really cool. Like I said, there's a lot of great things in the book of 1 and 2 Kings. But the first thing is the instruction of the man of God. What did he instruct them to do first? He said, "I want you to make this valley full of ditches. I want you to become ditch diggers. I want you to begin to dig and to prepare this ground and make it ready. I want you to dig ditches." Look at somebody today and say, "Get to digging." Because that's what we're about to do. As a church, as the body of Christ, as a people, we're about to get to digging. You know why? Because sometimes you got to prepare for what God is going to do before you even see it happening. You got to prepare for the suddenly before the suddenly comes. Because if you're not ready and you're not prepared, you might miss the suddenly. And if they wouldn't have started digging ditches, if they wouldn't have gotten their shovels out, gotten their pickaxes out, and gotten down on the dirt and started digging and started shoveling and started hitting the ground and started tearing it up and making ditches, they wouldn't have been ready for the suddenly that God was going to bring that we're going to see later in verse 20. Sometimes you've got to start preparing before you see what God is doing. You see, the valley that they were living in, that they were staying in, was dry. It was void of water, but they started digging anyways. Sometimes the season feels dry. It feels empty. You wonder, is God saying anything? Is God doing anything? Where's the miracles? Where's the signs? Where's the growth? Where's the explosion? Where's the favor? Where's the blessing? Where's all the stuff I've been hearing about? Where's all the stuff I read about in the Bible? You just better start digging. Because when you start digging, God will see your faith. God will see your obedience. And God will begin to release the suddenly. But if you're not ready for the suddenly, either you won't get it or you'll miss it. So you got to start digging even when it seems like nothing else is coming. We've got to prepare for the suddenly that God is about to release in this community. Here's how we do that. Every prayer is a spade in the dirt. Every time that we gather together and we lift our hands and we open our mouth and we begin to worship God, we're turning that soil over. Every single time that you get on your knees at home and you begin to pray and you begin to say, "God, I pray that you would save Fort Payne, Alabama. God, I ask that you'd send miracles, you'd send signs, you'd send wonders. God, I pray that you would lead me as I go to the store today." You are digging a ditch that is preparing a way for a suddenly to come in your life, in your community, and in this church. Every time that you begin to praise and you begin to worship, you're turning up ground. Every time that you stay in faith and you stand fast and firm on the promises of God, what He's spoken to you through His word, what He has said to you by the prophets, what He has said to you in your quiet time, and He has spoken to you, that you say, "God, I believe that if you said it, you will do it. I am standing on your promises." You know what you're doing? You are digging a ditch. You're making way. You're preparing for a suddenly that is going to take place. Every time you declare the faithfulness of God, you're clearing a ditch. You're making a way for what He is about to do. But you know what? It might feel dry. It might be dusty. It might feel like hard work. You know, it may seem like it's not doing anything. Why am I digging this ditch? There's no water. It's just dirt. It's just land. But you aren't called. Here's why we continue to dig ditches. We're not called to live off of our feelings, but we're called to live in obedience. Sometimes it doesn't feel like the suddenly is coming. It doesn't feel like God's moving. It doesn't feel like He's listening. It doesn't feel like He's there. Sometimes it's frustrating because you can't hear Him listening. Think about that. You're like, are you listening? He's listening. You just can't hear Him listening. And sometimes it feels like you're digging and you're digging, you're reading, you're praying, you're worshiping, you're tithing, you're going to church, you're trying to honor God with everything that you have, everything that you do, and it just feels dry. Come on, you ever felt like you were in a dry season before? I'll tell you what, as a pastor, whether it's a pastor, as a lead pastor, I've been a children's pastor, a youth pastor, a worship pastor, J3 ministry school director, and a lead pastor. That's kind of what I've done in ministry. And every single place I've ever been, most of the time, the biggest thing I hear is, I just feel like I'm going through a dry season. Well, you know what you do in a dry season? You keep digging. Just like if you were digging for a well because your land was dry, you know what you just have to do? Keep digging. Sometimes you got to change the location of where you're digging, but you know what you got to do when you change location? Start digging again. You just dig and dig and dig. You dig ditches. Even when you're in the middle of dry seasons, it feels like it's dry, but we're not called to live in our feelings. You know, we get too caught up in our feelings. I just don't feel like God's doing anything. I don't feel like God's moving. You can't twist God's arm to make him do what you want Him to do anyways. What we're called to do is be obedient. So stop following your feelings and follow His instructions. If we will dig ditches through prayer, through worship, through praise, He'll fill them. But He can't fill what isn't prepared. I can't fill a jar that isn't there. He can't fill a ditch that isn't dug. We are responsible to dig ditches. And so you know what we're going to do? Just like the word of the Lord, we're going to make this mountain. He said valley. We live on a mountain. We're going to make this mountain full of ditches. Amen. Spiritual ditches. Maybe you don't get that. Maybe you don't understand that. But like I said, every time you pray, you're making a way. Every time you sing, every time you shout, every time you dance, every time you clap in the glory of God, you're digging a ditch. The man of God said this, though. He said, you won't see the wind. You won't see the rain. But that doesn't mean it's not coming. Sometimes you can't see it. You look and you're like, all right, God, I'm digging. Where's the water? He said, you're not going to see it. It's going to come how? Suddenly. It's going to come all of a sudden. It's almost going to catch you by surprise. In fact, it makes me think of Elijah's predecessor, Elijah, who was the man of God during Jehoram's dad Ahab's time. We talked about him a little bit earlier. As he had called a drought on the land, a famine, no rain, 3.5 years. But when it came time for rain, he told Ahab, he said, you better get home because the rain's coming. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. But Elijah knew that there's rain coming. Why? Because Elijah was about to go to a mountain and dig a ditch. Elijah was about to go to the top of the mountain, put his head between his knees, and begin to cry out and begin to intercede and begin to pray, because he knew that when he prayed, this suddenly was coming. That what hadn't happened for 3.5 years was about to happen. It was about to come. It was about to transpire, because he was going to put his head between his knees. He was going to intercede. He was going to pray. And he was going to see the suddenly come to pass. In fact, he said to his servant, he said, go look over the sea. And his servant went and looked, and he came back. He said, I don't see anything. And he said, it's all right, go again. He sent him 7 times, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And finally, the young servant says, I see a cloud. It's about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah knew the rain's coming. Sometimes it doesn't look like much. The suddenly may look minuscule in our eyes. It may look small. It may look unimportant. It may look like it lacks potency. But I'll tell you what, if God is sending it, it's going to be powerful. And the suddenly will come. Sometimes you won't be able to see it coming. So you know what you do? You keep your eyes on Him. Don't be looking up here, looking over there. Look at him, the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. So you just keep your eyes on him. You keep praying. You keep praising. You keep staying faithful. You keep declaring his promises. You keep staying in faith. You stay obedient. Because I love what God says through Elisha in verse 18. He says, this is a simple matter to the Lord. What seems impossible to you and to me, it's easy to God. Elisha didn't go, okay, God will see what he can do. This is a big ask. You know, you got a lot of people out here, and I don't know where he's going to get the water from. God can bring water from anywhere. Amen. Obviously, he can just make it appear if he wants it to. He said, this is a simple thing. I want to assure you today. I want to reassure you, really. What you're facing in your life that seems like you'll never get over it, seems like you'll never get through it, it's simple to him. There's nothing he can't do. There's something you've been stressing about. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do with this situation? How are we ever going to pay this bill? What are we going to do about this medical problem, this issue? What about our car? What about our house? What about, yeah. And he's like, it's a simple matter. He said, I'm not just going to bring water. I'm going to defeat the Moabites. I'm going to do everything that you need me to do, but you just have to be responsible to dig a ditch and then pursue the enemy. So what seems impossible for man is simple to the Lord. Listen, when the Israelites were in the wilderness after their exodus from Egypt, they came across the same problem. So this wasn't the first time God had ever done this. They didn't have any water to drink. God told Moses, he said, strike the rock. He struck the rock. It was split and water poured out of it. And some scholars say about 2 million people drank water from that rock. And in fact, this may freak some of you out, but you read your Bible. That rock followed them. Read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. They all drank from that same spiritual rock, and that rock followed them. Don't tell me God can't bring water out of nothing. He can do whatever he wants to do. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. There is nothing he can't do. So, what do? We don't lose hope. We don't become Jehoram. All's lost. I guess God brought us out here. We're going to die, you know. Don't be that person. Stay in faith. Keep digging. Keep your hands to the plow. Remember what it says in the book of Hebrews. We aren't of those who shrink back to perdition, but those who press on to what? The saving of the soul. You know why? Because suddenly is coming. I can feel it in my spirit. Suddenly is coming. So what? You know what? We've been digging ditches, but the water's coming. So you know what we need to do? We need to keep digging. Makes me think about Noah. God told him, build a boat. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. But what did Noah do? He started cutting down gopher trees. He started making pitch. He employed all his sons, gave them jobs to do, and he built a boat. It had never rained a drop on the earth, and he built a boat. Sounds stupid, doesn't it? Think about that. What are you doing, Noah? Building a boat. What's a boat? Floats on the water. Okay. How are you going to get it to the water? Oh, it's going to come out of the sky. It had never rained before. They had no idea what he was talking about. But he was still obedient to do it. Just like we're going to be obedient to dig ditches. I want to just encourage you this morning to put that financial burden in his hands. Put that loved one in his hands. Put your marriage in his hands. Put everything that you have in his hands. You know why? I've chosen to put everything I have into the hands of the Lord. Just like you'd want the basketball in the star player's hands, I've chosen, I'm going to put everything in your hands. Why? Because it's in a much better place there than it is in mine. It's in a much safer place than it is there. Because what is impossible for me is simple to him. What seems like a daunting task for you and for me, he can do with ease. So I'm going to keep my shovel in my hands. I'm going to keep digging. And I'm going to leave everything else in his hands. Because he can do the rest. Because sometimes his plans don't make a lot of sense to us. In fact, when you think about them in a human capacity, dig ditches? Like, I can just see the army when Jehoshaphat and Jehoram come back and like, everybody get your shovel out and start digging. They're like, what? Dig ditches? What are you talking about? Dig ditches, man. Like, we're already don't have enough water to go on and you want to force us to do manual labor? This doesn't make any sense. Why would we do this? We're going to die of thirst, and you're forcing us to dig ditches. Have you ever dug a ditch before? It ain't easy. And I'm not talking about with a ditch witch. I'm talking about with a shovel, okay? You ever dug a ditch? It is not easy work. And he said, I want you to get out there and start digging ditches. And he didn't say, just dig one ditch. He said, I want you to make this valley full of ditches. Just make it a big old valley of ditches. That's what I want, right? Why? Because whatever's coming is big. And the level to which you prepare is the level to which you are able to receive. So if you dig a little 3-foot ditch, guess what God's going to fill? Your little 3-foot ditch. Just like when Elisha told the woman, he said, go get those jars of oil and go get those jars, empty jars, and don't just get a few, because that little jar of oil that you consider nothing, if you keep pouring and you keep pouring and you keep pouring, that oil will keep flowing. But when they ran out of jars, that's when the oil stopped up. When we stop, God will do for us what we prepare for. Not that we're forcing his hand. But he's the one that gave the word, dig ditches. And he's the one that's saying to us today, in prayer and in worship and in obedience, I want you to dig ditches through saying yes in your spirit, through keeping watch, through being faithful to serve me and to love me and to obey me. And so something big is coming. That's why he said, fill it with ditches. Don't just dig one little ditch, because you know why? One little ditch wouldn't be enough for the whole army to have. One little ditch ain't going to be enough for all of Fort Payne to receive. If we want to make a bigger impact, we're going to have to dig more ditches. And so here at the Well Fort Payne, we're not just going to dig one or two ditches. We're going to prepare for something bigger than we've ever seen. You may say, all right, Pastor Spencer, it's been a year. It's been a year. We've been digging ditches. We've made it through COVID. I've been serving in the nursery. I've been serving on the praise team. I came and I helped hang drywall. I help at 12 bushels. I've been serving. When's it coming? I don't know. But I know this. When it comes, I'm going to be found with a shovel in my hand digging a ditch. I don't know when it's coming. I honestly don't. I pray about it every single day. God, and it's not that we haven't seen God do things. It's not that it hasn't been good so far. But sometimes, the longer you stay faithful, the sweeter it is when that water shows up. The longer, think about it. The longer you've been digging, the thirstier you get. Right? And it's that much better when you receive that refreshment that comes from God. I might not be able to see it yet. Just like the prophet said, you won't see the wind, you won't see the rain. Just like when Elisha was sending his servant back and forth, he said, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't know when it's coming because I cannot predict it, but I am anticipating God is about to move suddenly. Every time I pray for this church, every time I lift my hands in praise, every time I get down on my knees and I surrender to God, I'm digging a ditch. We were here the other day setting up on Friday. And normally when we come and we do this, we try to come up here on the weekends, on Saturdays. We'll sneak up here and just pray for a little bit with our children. We'll just come up in the altar and just pray. And we tell them, like I told you a couple weeks ago, hey, look, we're plowing in prayer, right? Because the prophet said, break up the fallow ground. And so we've been trying to, every day, every chance that we get, we're going to plow in prayer. Well, we were setting up on Friday, and Madison and I, we're trying to get things ready to go. And Bethel comes up to me, and he grabs me and says, hey, Dad, when are we going to plow in prayer? He's 5. And I love that it's in his spirit that we're going to plow in prayer. We're going to get on our knees in this altar, and we're going to believe, God, we're digging a ditch. We're plowing. We're planting, we're watering, and we're waiting for you to bring the increase. We're waiting for you to bring the suddenly. So what we've been doing for years, we've been breaking up fallow ground. You know why? Because a harvest is coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. And I know that he will be faithful to do his part. Listen to verse 20. Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by way of Eden and the land was filled with water. How did the water come? Suddenly. I don't know about you, but when that water comes, I don't want to be somebody that quit and went home. I don't want to be somebody that lost hope, that gave up. I want to be somebody that's still there digging, still there waiting, still there hoping. I want to be like that 120 in the upper room on the day that Pentecost was released upon the church. There was 500 that Jesus had told to go wait in the upper room, but only 120 stayed and received the suddenly. I want to be like that. I want to be there. I want to be found. You know why? Because we're not going to miss what God's going to do in this community. Victory is in our future. Amen? Go ahead and stand to your feet with me today as I begin to close this up. We're getting close to time. I want to thank you for your attendance and for being here today and for your attentiveness. But I want to just begin to close by telling you this, that once that water came, we read it earlier, the Moabites, they crested that hill. And as they looked down, they saw that valley that the Israelites and the people of Judah and the people of Edom had dug ditches in. And they saw that the water had come, and it was the sun that reflected on the water. As the sun begins to shine upon the water in the ditches that we dig, and Jesus Christ, he represents, he's the light, he's the sun. He comes, he's going to shine upon it, and it's going to make even the things and the people that try to come against you think that they've got you exactly where they want you. But when they begin to come down into that valley and they traverse down that hill, the Israelites and the people of Judah and the Edomites, they rose up and they begin to strike the Moabites. But think about this, just for a moment. What if they hadn't dug the ditches? What if they would have said, too much work, I'm already thirsty enough, I need to preserve my energy, I need to preserve the fluids within my body? They would have been massacred by the Moabites. We've got to be willing to do what sounds crazy, feels crazy. What if they would have said, there's no way that'll work, there's no way that that can happen? They wouldn't have experienced the suddenly that God produced in their life. I want to be a person that when God says dig a ditch, I grab a shovel and I get to digging. Amen? I want to be the type of person when God says build a boat, I grab my saw and I go start cutting down trees. I want to be this type of person that when God says, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men, I get out of the boat and I start following him. I want to be the type of person that when God says, strike the rock, I take my staff and I strike the rock and water begins to pour out of a rock. I want to be the type of person that if God says, lift your staff over the sea, I would be willing to do that and see the waters parted and people walk through on dry ground. I want to be the type of person that if God says, go fight a giant, I'd go get me 5 stones and start walking across the field and say, all right, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. You uncircumcised Philistine, who do you think you are that you can defy the armies of the living God? So I want to be that type of person, because this suddenly happens in the obedience. What if David wouldn't have gone? What if Moses wouldn't have lifted the rod, struck the rock? What if Noah wouldn't have built the boat? We wouldn't have the stories that we have today, right? In fact, I wonder how many people aren't in the Bible because God commanded them to do something and they didn't. How many more stories of God's faithfulness and miracles would we have if more people like you and me would grab a shovel and get to digging? So if you're saying, I want to be somebody that'll dig, would you just lift your hands today? I want to pray with you. Father, I ask that you would give us a special anointing in this city, in this town, in this region, in our homes, Lord, in America, that we would dig ditches to prepare for your suddenly. God, we can't make you do it. We're not trying to force your hand. We're not trying to twist your arm. We're simply saying, here I am, send me, as Isaiah said. God, we will dig the ditches. God, we will pray. We will worship. We will obey. We will serve. We will do whatever it is that you ask us to do, God, because we want to be found in your presence. We want to be people that will accomplish every single thing that you ask us to do, God. So even if it seems hard, even if it doesn't make sense, God, I declare this is a season of stepping out into faith. Whatever God calls you to do, your family might not understand it. Your fellow church members may not even understand it. But as you are obedient to God, he will meet you in your obedience and he will bring us suddenly to pass. And I declare that over you, over his people today in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Just once again, lift your hands and receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you prepare by digging ditches for the suddenly that God is going to bring on your life, on this community, and on this church. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.